Please keep praying for me as I stand before you tonight. Thankful for the prayer, thankful for the good fellowship I believe we've had in the Lord. Friendship and fellowship in this world is a very, very wonderful thing, a great blessing that God has allowed us to have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And to be able to come to a place like this tonight and have the fellowship and the singing of hymns and fellowship in prayer, and expressing our needs to the Lord, and to be able to open His Word together and look and lean upon the Lord to teach us is such a great, great privilege. And one, I'm thankful the Lord has blessed you tonight to be able to see the importance of and have not forsaken your assembling together. And as the manner of some is, as the Apostle Paul wrote in the Hebrew letter, I'm thankful that you are here. And I do ask that you would, as Brother Bobby has prayed for me and prayed for the congregation, I ask you would just continue to pray that God would supply what we need tonight. I've had some thoughts surrounding a passage of Scripture that Brother Daddy spoke on and read today at Summer Duck, and it's continued to be there. And we've been looking at that passage, several places in that passage of Scripture, and I feel led to go there tonight. So I ask you to turn with me if you have your Bibles. We'd like to read to you tonight from the writings of the Apostle Paul to the brethren of the Thessalonians and to the Church of the Thessalonians. And we'll read from the first letter of Thessalonians. Reading right at the first chapter, we'll probably read the entire first chapter, which has 10 verses. Maybe look at some of the second chapter, but I want to read all of that in your hearing tonight. Before I start talking, I want to read it, because sometimes when I start talking, I never get to read it. And then I'm trying to talk about something I haven't read to you or in your hearing, and sometimes don't hardly get there. So I'm going, let me stop talking and read this passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Thankful for the inspiration of God and His Word. He says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. More in these 10 verses than we could even imagine to begin to cover in the time we have tonight, or in really a lifetime of sermons, if the Lord would bless us with understanding. As we've said many times before, His Word is just that rich, just that deep, that it is truly the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any single verse in the Bible is just that way. He says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have here Paul writing. Paul is, of course, an apostle. He writes in other places he's the servant of the Lord. We We see him as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see him as a preacher and a minister of the gospel. And as an apostle, one who was given great gifts. Gifts to share the Bible, write even portions of the Bible, to share the truth of the Bible, and having a special gift of the apostles, that gifts of healings and tongues and miracles and casting out of devils. In the days of the apostles, before the entirety of the Bible was written, the apostle Paul, as he spoke by the authority of Almighty God, and there were signs that followed him preaching that confirmed the things that he said, that they were so. So when we open our Bibles tonight and read from the writings of the apostle Paul, somebody would say, I don't want to be a Paulinian, I want to be a Christian, I want to follow Christ. I'm not worried about following that old fogey thought that man Paul. I'm not worried about what he would have. There would be a lot of folks that would have you discount that which is given by the apostle Paul in the Bible, saying he was out of step and out of touch and he was just off on some of those things, and that we really don't have any responsibility to follow what he has written, that we as Christians follow what Christ taught. What the Bible says about this is that all Scripture, and I do believe that that's speaking of the Old Testament, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, but I also know that the Lord spoke and gave these things unto the apostles, who were moved of God by the Spirit of God. And the apostle Paul was one, as we read about him in the Acts of the Apostles, who was called and qualified and made an apostle by God himself. Paul wasn't looking to become an apostle. As a matter of fact, if Paul could have, on his own as a Saul, he would have destroyed everything that the apostles were teaching. He hated them. He hated the name of Christ and everything that Christianity that he could know about held. He would have destroyed the very name of Christ, except he had not the power to do that. And in God's time, he struck that old persecuting Saul down and made him a praying, preaching Paul, and called him to be an apostle, and an apostle unto the Gentiles. So Paul is not only an apostle, he's a very special apostle for us tonight. He is the apostle that the Lord has given unto us, and as all the apostles are, we are to follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, because those things first came from Christ, but then the Christ of the Bible, Jesus, taught the apostles, and the apostles laid these things down, and we are now walking, hopefully tonight, in that faith, that body of truth that was once delivered to the saints and that was given to the apostle Paul. So when we read the writings of the apostle Paul, I'm just so thankful that the Lord blessed us to have the writings of the apostle Paul. I'm not thankful that because Paul was something, but I'm thankful that Paul's Lord was something. I'm thankful that Paul's Savior was something. And Paul himself said, follow me only as I follow Christ. Don't follow me as Paul, but follow. He said, if I or an angel of heaven preach anything to you other than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. He would not have anyone following him because of who he was, but he would have us tonight to follow him because he taught what Christ taught him. As Christ taught him, he laid it down. As it's been laid down tonight, I try the best I can as a minister of the gospel to share the teachings, yes, of the Apostle Paul, but more importantly, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who Paul was taught by. And that was given by Almighty God. God, and who, by the way, Jesus, that's who he is. When we have the teachings of Christ, we have the teachings of the one who was the Word that was in the beginning with God, who verily was God. He says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, all of these were ministers of the gospel. We read about them in the book of 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, where they're mentioned by name and said that their preaching was not a yea and a nay, but a yea and an amen. They preached the truth. And he says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, and he's writing unto the church of the Thessalonians. That is, like the church here today is the church here at Happy Creek, and the church we were at today was the church at Summer Duck, and whether you call it Union Church, which its name is, or the church at Summer Duck, or the church at Happy Creek, or the church at Brightwood, or as a matter of fact, in the early days of the naming of these churches, they always called them the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ at Robinson River, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ at South River, which we were before we were called Happy Creek. It was called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is part, one of the assemblies, one of the places, a body of believers, baptized believers that had been called out by Almighty God. And as a local church, they were gathered here known as the Church of the Thessalonians. At Thessalonica, they were gathered. And notice this, it says, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the importance was not who they were, it was who they were in. They were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, if we are anything, it's because we're the church here tonight that's in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is here by the power of Almighty God the Father, and we're gathering tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe tonight two or three or more have gathered here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our purpose for gathering, as we sing it, in number 110 in our hymn books, brethren, we have met to worship and to adore the Lord our God. I hope that's why we're here tonight. We're here to worship. And that worship is in the simplicity of the New Testament practice given by the Apostle Paul and other writers. We come singing, we come preaching, and we come praying. And we come happy. I love to see his little sister come in. She came in happy tonight. She hadn't been with us for a while, and to see her coming in happy, it made me happy to see her coming in happy. I'm very, very thankful. And I think she has found, as we have found, I hope you have found this to be as a place that we sing, there is a church I love so well. It is there I what? Kneel and pray. Why is it this? Is it the building? That makes it special? This building is special to me because of the memories it holds for me. But this building never made a meeting. This building never blessed one preacher to preach. This pulpit never gave one preacher the power to speak the word. The pews have never helped any of you hear the word. This building, I'm thankful that the Lord has given it to us, and we should keep it and hold it dear and be thankful that He has supplied us a place of comfort to worship. But we could worship if this building burned tonight, right at this same spot, without a building, as well, or maybe sometimes possibly better if we get our eyes on the building than we could with the building. Now, I like it that we have a building. I'm glad the pews are padded. I am especially glad we've got air conditioning. I am appreciative of the fan. I'm appreciative of all the things that make it comfortable. And I know y'all, many of you may not like the cool so much, but you like the heat. You like those. But I am thankful we have those things. But they are not what's necessary tonight for us to worship the Lord. What's needed is that we gather in the name of the Lord, and that we gather in the power of the Lord, and we speak at those things that were taught unto us by the Lord Jesus Christ, given unto the apostles, and then given unto faithful men, and down through the years, down through the ages, as He has put His church here in this world, He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, which means it'll be here when the Lord comes again, and He's coming. Oh, thanks be to God, He's coming. There will be people, there will be God's children called out of this world, men that are called to preach the gospel, who will be faithfully declaring Jesus Christ and Him crucified when the Lord returns. And if I'm living and breathing air, I want to be found close to them. I want to be found walking among them. I want to be found where the saints gather. I want to be where there's green pastures. I need the still waters. I need my soul that gets so tore up in this world to be restored. I need a table that's prepared for me, even in the presence of our enemies, which are filling this world. I need a place of rest. I need an oasis in this desert of a world. I need a place that shines forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what His church is, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And that's what the Lord had provided unto those brethren here at the Thessalonians at Thessalonica. He had provided that for them, and the Apostle Paul was thinking of those brethren, and it caused his heart to rejoice. How many meetings have you been at in different places that the Lord has allowed you to have a little time of communion and fellowship with the church? A church in Little River, a church in Brightwood, a church in, you know, in Indiana. A church in Florida, a church here, a church wherever the Lord has planted it, where you feel His presence, where you hear the preaching that's done in power, where you feel the very presence of the Lord, where the songs that are sung not to have people praise, but rather to praise God. And there's a big difference in that. You know, there's a big difference in whether our singing is for us to think how good we are, or whether our singing is about how wonderful our Lord is. You know, when you're singing about how wonderful the Lord is, it doesn't matter whether you sing good or bad. It's always good in the ears of God. And in the eyes of the world, it really doesn't matter. If we're singing from our heart, praises to God, it goes through the vocal cords. But listen, if the vocal cords are on key or the off key, in the ears of the Lord, it's covered in the blood of Jesus, which means they are like a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of Almighty God. It's like the incense that filled up the old law service tabernacle and those places of worship back there. It is a place that in the blood of Jesus, it's acceptable in His sight. Those prayers that are offered up, the prayers of the saints, you know, those little feet, weak prayers. I know, I could tell tonight when I called on Brother Bobby, he felt like, oh, why didn't you just pick somebody else? That's when I feel like I followed the Lord probably best. If I'd have called on somebody and they'd have said, oh, I'm glad he called on me because, boy, I'm just really ready to go, I would have said, oh, I think I made a mistake. Please sit down, brother. Let me call on somebody else. You know, it's wonderful in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that get high and high-minded are brought low by the gospel. And those who are down, poor, weak, and worthless, maimed, halt, blind. I hope you understand that tonight, that that's where all of us are by nature. We're the children of wrath, even as others. There's nothing good about us. There's no redeeming characteristic in us. There's nothing about the brethren here at Thessalonica, the church of the Thessalonians, that was redeeming in them. The only thing that made them special, and the only thing that made the Apostle Paul special, or Silvanus special, or Timotheus special, or you and I tonight special, or the prayers we offer special, is that there was a Savior some 2,000 years ago who loved us and went to the cross of Calvary and paid a sin debt. And in that He made us worthy to be able to come in Him, not worthy in us, worthy in Him, to pray and preach and sing. And here's the amazing thing. God's pleased with it. You want to please the Lord? Well, you get to the house of God and pray and preach and sing and be among the saints when they gather. You want to be active in the service of God? Somebody said, I don't have anything to do. Oh, we got more to do than we'll ever get done. Somebody, there's not a thing you and I can do to add to the beauties and the glories of heaven. We don't have to, because Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. I can't add to heaven. I can't make heaven any brighter. It's already the best it can be. There's nothing I can do to make that any better than what He did at Calvary. I can't add to the work of a loving Savior and an Almighty God who saved His people to the uttermost. But here in this world, there's much that you and I ought to be doing in praising Him and honoring Him, and walking in the faith that He's given us, and working in that faith, living in that faith, abiding in that faith, painting a floor of the church in that faith, whatever it is. And if we do it outside of faith and love, well, He said, whatsoever is not of faith, it is what? Sin. That's what He said in Romans. And whatsoever is not done in love, charity, it's as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Tonight we gather here tonight, I believe in faith. I believe it's faith that's caused us to gather. And it's not faith I got for you, or you got for me, or I gave to you through the preaching, or you got from this place or that place. As a brother said many years ago, it's not one you can't go down at Walmart and find on the shelf faith and buy it. It's that you can't go get faith. Faith is the gift of God. Ephesians says, for by grace are ye saved, that is delivered. And that deliverance is an eternal deliverance, but it's also a timely deliverance. It's a deliverance you find when you gather in the house of God. It's a faith that, and for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I can't make you know the Lord, but if the Lord has made you to know Him, you can't just ignore that. Now, you can do it, but you won't do it happily. Let me say that. He's made a difference in your life, hasn't He? He's allowed you to see things you never would have seen on your own. A lot of people can't see them. but you can see them. A lot of people can't hear anything spiritually, but you hear spiritually. A lot of people can't understand the things of God, even the most simple things of God, like the creation of this world. They don't understand all about that, but God has blessed your eyes to be able to see the beauty of His creation. God has blessed your ears to hear the sound and the voice of creation glorifying and honoring His name. Even if you've never heard the gospel preached from the Bible, the creation of God itself speaks praise and honor and glory to the Creator. It tells us and testifies unto us that there is a Creator who made all that therein is. You see even the beauty of His handiwork, and it just praises Him. You ever just go out at night, look up in the sky, doesn't it praise Him? And you look at the beauty of a sunset, like you're riding along on the highway, and you can look all gloomy and kind of make you feel down, and the next moment a sun can set in the horizon and turn every one of those gray clouds into a beautiful color. I mean, just fill the sky with that color. You know that color was there all the time. You know who can do that? I know who can't do it. I can't do it. But I know one who can. And I know one who did. And that same one is the same one the Apostle Paul preached that we're talking about here tonight, that has one day going to come again. We are waiting from Him to come again. We're waiting, as he said in verse 10, we are here as those were there, waiting for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus. We're looking for His return, because He who died and went to the grave came forth victorious over the grave. And he wrote a whole chapter here in 1 Thessalonians 4 about when He's coming again and what a glorious, wonderful day that will be. Tonight, I don't think you think that's foolishness, do you? You believe He's coming, don't you? I hope you do tonight. And if you're able to understand that and believe that, I know there's an old nature in us that causes us to doubt. There's an old nature in us that we battle against. There's a nature that we have to contend against. That's why you come to church, so you can keep that old man, that old woman under, and be walking in faith. Listen, you have faith to walk by and to live by. You have sight that the world doesn't have. You have an understanding the world did not give you. You have been born, if you're a little child of God tonight, you have been born of the Spirit of God. You've been made alive, and your life is eternal life. And this old time world we're living in just a little span of time, it worries us to death sometimes how we're going to get along. And the Bible says don't take any thought for your life. It's but a vapor. It's just here for a little while, and it soon vanishes away. You know, last time I was at Dr. Brad, I was telling him how bad I was feeling and my legs were hurting and this and that, and I didn't know what was going on. Or maybe I had some problem, some terrible disease going on. He said, well, you got OLD. I said, I got what? He said, OLD. And then I thought, old. I said, yeah, you got it too, don't you? I'm telling you, you get old quick. And we're here just for a little while. We worry far too much. We're concerned about things that ought not trouble us far too much. We're worried about everything we hear. And we got an adversary who loves to operate in the flesh. We talked a little bit about him today. He said to Simon, 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 behold. Jesus said this, Simon, Simon, behold. Behold, Satan hath desired thee, hath desired you, that he may sift you as wheat. And when he said you, he didn't just mean Simon. That you in the Bible is a plural pronoun. It's talking about you. It's talking about Gary. It's talking about you. It's talking about my family. It's talking about my children. It's talking about my grandchildren. It's talking about anyone that he can. Satan has desired you that he may sift you. And that sifting isn't where you take the grain, the fruit from the chaff and keep the fruit. It's where you're left with nothing but chaff. What he would like to do is to bury the fruit of the Spirit in our life and have that to be completely out of the way, so that you and I'd be nothing but the old man, the old woman. And I'll tell you, you know what that is. That's that old hard-headed, ornery self that you and I have. That old part of you that makes you miserable. Like that heath bush in the desert, can't even see when good comes. Living in a desert place, dry and parched, can't even see no happiness there, no joy there, no nothing but the things of this old flesh. And he loves, the old devil cannot touch your eternal destiny because it's in the hand of God that whipped that old boy. Listen, that which he thought he had, or where he even already knew that when whatever Jesus said, he had to do it. He knew. The devils, James said, you believe, that's wonderful, but the devils also believe in what? And tremble. You know why they tremble? Because they know he has more power than they have. Aren't you glad the devil isn't of equal power as God? We'd be in trouble tonight if it was. Jesus said, but I prayed for you. He actually said, I prayed for thee, which means I prayed for you particularly, Simon. I believe tonight he's prayed for Gary particularly. I believe tonight he's prayed for you, and you put your name there. If you love the Lord, it's because he first loved you. And if you love him tonight, it's because he loved you before the very foundation of the world. If you love him tonight, it's because he chose you in covenant. It's because he made choice of you. He saw you in the worst place you've ever been in this world. And 1,000 times more than that, he saw you in your depravity. And he saw it and still loved you in spite of that. I don't know why he loved any of us, but he saw fit to love his people. And there's absolutely nothing that can separate one of his children from that love. You love your children? Not nearly as much as God loves his. And he said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. You know what that means? That means my faith can't fail. Now, my using faith, sometimes I don't do that. But when I use it, it doesn't fail. Hear me. You see, Peter over there, I don't know where I'm going tonight, but Peter over there, Peter when he was there, he thought he had everything okay. He thought, listen, I know everybody's going to deny you, Lord, but not me. I'm Peter. I'm not going to deny you. I'm the one you called a stone, remember? I'm not going to deny you. I'll never deny you. The rest of them might. Oh, I know they're not quite where I'm at, you see? I think I can. I'm going to hang in now. They may deny you, but I'll go all the way with you, even to death. And I believe he felt that in his heart, but see, he was confused about it because we sometimes overestimate what we can do in the flesh. Can I say to you tonight, in the flesh, we can't do a single thing but mess up. That's why we're not to trust in the flesh. He didn't say to lean a little bit on your own understanding. He said to trust in who? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. I can't trust in me and the Lord. I've got to trust in the Lord. Get me out of the way, Lord. I've got to lean on Him. I've got to depend on Him. I've got to wait for Him to tell me what to do. Now get this. If He tells me what to do now, I've got something to do. And when He tells me to do it, if He says you do it, He's not going to do it for you. He's saying you do it. And when He told us to walk by faith, then you and I need to walk by faith. Sometimes we say, well, I think his faith failed me. No, we fail to use it. I ask you this question. Does the armor of God work? Do you think there's any problems in the armor of God? Do you think that God messed up when he made the helmet? Do you think he did? I know you wouldn't. Y'all would run me out of this pulpit if I said that tonight and said, I believe. And you ought to. Listen, you ought to show me the door. Or either pray, say, brother, you better change. I hope you'd pray for me and try to help me become converted that I might learn better. Listen, there's no problems with the armor of God. Every armor that man has ever created, any weapon that he's ever devised or any protection that he's ever built always had weaknesses. It had places where you could that were vulnerable to I can't even get the word out. That you could get to them by. Vulnerable. Got it. To attack. A weakness in the armor. And a good soldier is going to try to find that weak spot and attack that weak spot. Can I say this? You and I in our filthy rags have nothing but weak spots. But when we put on the armor of God, you're fully clothed. When you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's told us to do that. When you walk by faith, your faith will hold up. Your faith will stand. I know that because the Bible says his faith, he said, I prayed for thee that your faith faileth not. There's no way that the faith would have failed. What happens sometimes is you and I don't walk by faith. We walk by sight. We don't trust the Lord. We say it some. We even sing it sometimes, go right out of the door and not do any of it. And if you're like me, I'm kind of, it's a mixture. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Lord, I trust you, but I want to trust you more. Lord, I'm following you, but I want to follow you more. I don't want to be as upset about things as I get upset. I want to go trusting more. I want to go believing more. I believe one day he's going to carry me out of this world to home to glory, so much so that if I felt death was imminent right now, this moment, I don't believe I'd be I don't want to say that boastfully. But going home right now sounds like a wonderful thing to me. And so when it comes to death, I feel that he has that soul taken care of that I can say, oh, as we sing it, farewell, vain world. Are we singing that because we mean it or are we just saying it? I'm going home. My Savior bids me come. And so it seems almost like a sweet time. Oh, as the hymn writer wrote, oh, how sweet to die. Listen, it's not dying that worries God's people so much. It's living. But should living bother us if the Lord has promised us he's going to take care of us even in death? Do you not suppose that he who's taken care of that would not also give us freely, as he said he would, all things that we need? And he's given us the whole armor. He's given us salvation for a helmet. So when your head gets mixed up, just put your helmet on. It'll help your head get straightened out. Salvation's of the Lord. I don't know what the news is, but I know salvation's of the Lord. I don't know what the trouble is, but he said, I cast all my cares upon him, for he cares for me. If he cares for me, that means he's always loved me. He will forever love me. He will never leave me. He will always supply what I need. When it's time to come to the pulpit, I can trust the Lord to supply that. Oh, I'm not to be heady and arrogant-minded about it. I'm to come as the Apostle Paul taught in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. But my trust and my faith is that the Lord will bless me with what's needed to preach the gospel in power and in demonstration of the Spirit. That doesn't mean loud. It doesn't mean real noisy. It simply means in an effective way where the gospel is taken from the voice here, carried out into the hearts of God's children, and something special happens on the inside. Listen, you don't get that from some little educational talk or lesson or some motivational speaker. I can go to a movie and in my flesh get all, you know, weepy. I cry at almost any movie. You know, I can go to a cartoon movie and something happened to one of the little cartoon characters and the next thing you know, I got something rubbing in their eye, you know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that which has moved my heart. I'm talking about that which when I think about Jesus dying on the cross and he did it for me, I think about being with him in heaven where I can thank him for what he's done for me. I'm talking about when I'm in trouble and I don't know what's coming and I don't know where to go. I can get on my knees and say, Lord, lead me and guide me. And by faith that he's given me, believe that he will. That he'll open I've seen him open doors I couldn't open and shut doors I wanted to have open, but he shut them anyway. And he didn't ask my permission. He didn't say, is it okay with you, Gary? He just did it. And he's kept me out of a whole lot of messes. I ask you, has he kept you out of a lot of messes tonight? I know the answer to that. You're here, aren't you? You could be somewhere making a big mess tonight. I don't believe that's where you are. This church, he said to them that were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, grace be unto you and peace. I'm telling you, if we have the grace of Almighty God, we have God's riches tonight that have come to us at the life of Jesus. Paid the price that we might have the blessings we've had. How many gospel sermons have we heard at this place that the Lord has provided for us? How many times have we come wanting to know what to do and the Lord's answered us from his word? How many times have you felt brokenhearted and you felt some balm and some salve applied to the cuts and the bruises and you've been made to be happy even when you were sad? And you have questions. Oh, I know tonight we're still filled with questions. We're in this old world that's full of trouble. Sometimes I look at our nation and wonder how long America is going to continue to stand. Sometimes I wonder how is it going to be for our children and our children's children. And then we hear the things that might happen in our life. Look, I love the old church. I don't want to see the doors of this church ever shut. I don't want to see some other group meeting in the halls that we have here. I don't want to hear an uncertain sound coming forth from this pulpit. I desire, when I'm dead and gone, it would be my hope that there would be faithful brethren still contending for this faith once delivered unto the saints in this little church, not just at this place, not at just this location, but this assembly of believers have been preaching and teaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified at this spot at least since 1770. That's a long time. Do you think men did that? I don't believe that for a moment. I believe it's God who's given us that. I believe God supplied that for us tonight. I believe He's done that for us, just like He prayed for Simon in particular. I believe He prayed for you, and He knew what you would need, and He supplied that need to you. And as we come tonight, we're not coming here talking about how good I am, how good you are. We're not trying to make you feel. I don't want you to feel better. I want you to feel better in the Lord. And listen, feeling better in the Lord's a real thing. Feeling better in yourself is just a lie. It might make you feel good for a little while, but it won't hold up when the storm hits. Won't hold up, will it? No. He says, we give grace and be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all. Oh, how we ought to be giving thanks. And get this, not just for some, but for all. Everyone is needed and necessary. In the kingdoms of this world, you've got those who are called benefactors, as we read about in Luke 22. There are those who are supposedly called benefactors. They are the ones who hand out all the goodies, so to speak. And they really lord over the people. They just hand them all the goodies and really tell them what to do. And that's the way the world works. That isn't the way it works in the church. Listen, there's no big I's and little U's. There's no big U's and little I's. We are all at the feet of the Master. And that means at the feet of one another. And He that is least among you is the greatest. You want to see the greatest in the kingdom of God? Jesus showed how you could see that. He went and got a little child. And He brought that little child there. And He set him among those. And He said, you see this child, except you be converted. That has a change of heart and a change of mind. Get that pride out of the way and having a change of heart and become as a little child. You can't even see the kingdom. You can't enter into the kingdom. What does that mean? That means I can't really have fellowship with Him until I'm at the feet of Jesus. And when I'm at the feet of Jesus, I'm not on the head of my brethren. I'm at the feet of my brethren. I hope tonight you feel to be the least. I hope our preaching helps you feel that way. You know, not too much preaching in this world makes people feel worse about themselves. In other words, you'll run your congregation off if you start telling them how bad they are. Listen, the truth is that without the Lord, there is not a single redeeming characteristic in any of us. All of us have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. There is none that stirred up himself to call out to the Lord. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, you wouldn't have repented, neither would have I. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, I wouldn't be believing tonight or praying. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I certainly wouldn't be standing in this pulpit trying to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you would have been up out of your seat and gone somewhere else. But the grace of God has moved in your heart, so when you hear these things, they make a certain sound, don't they? Even when you first heard them, you might have said, "Whew, I don't know about that. That kind of scares me." Somebody, you know, when you go to a meeting house and they seem like they talk, it's kind of personal if you're not used to it. Sound like they're talking to me. How is he talking to me? You know, I came among the old Baptists, didn't think anybody knew anything about me, and the first preacher that got up took my life and made it an open book. And he didn't know he did that, but I'll tell you who did know it. The Lord knew it. And He laid my case out. And what's wonderful, though, He laid out everybody else, too, because we all in that same... See, without the Lord, we're all nothing. But in the Lord, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And here he's saying, we give thanks to God always for you all. That means every one of you. I'm thankful tonight for all of you, every one of you. My concern is for every one of you. My desire is that you all might continue faithful, that you might look to the Lord, that your families would be looking to the Lord, that your children, as the Lord blesses them to see and understand, would be looking to the Lord, that they would be leaning faithful and trusting in Him, depending upon Him, that they would remain, when the doors of the meeting house is open as much as possible as we can, that we are there putting the kingdom of God and His righteousness before anything in our life, seeking first that, and as much as we can being faithful. And in that you'll find joy and rest and peace. It becomes a life that's not just putting in. Have you ever looked at your life and thought, boy, I sure put in a whole lot of my time was just put in. I was just putting in time. I wasn't living. I was existing. Can I say, among the brethren, among the church, in the fellowship we have tonight, I have found a day in His courts better than a thousand. I've had more fun than I ever had at a football game, and nobody would have ever convinced me a football game wasn't just the top of the line. Listen, it doesn't even hold a glimpse. Things that I always thought I couldn't live without, I found I can do just fine without them. But I don't know that I'd want to live in this world if there wasn't a place I could hear the gospel preached, and I could hug the dear old saint's neck, and I could have fellowship with the Lord's people. When you can't get there and you want to get there, it makes it sweet when you can get back. And to be able to gather with two or three of God's little children and talk. Listen, I believe it's a conversation we're going to have in heaven. I think it's a conversation we ought to be having here. I think the more we can share. And where is that found? It was found here at the church at Thessalonica, the church of the Thessalonians. He said, remember, we give thanks to God always for you all and making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. The work of faith. That's a very precious thought. The work of faith. When you see a little brother or sister praying and saying, Lord, help me. That's a work that God has given them in their heart to do, believing in the Lord and trusting in Him. And it's a work of faith because they believe He can help them. When you pray, that's a work of faith. Because you believe there's someone's going to hear your prayers. You're not just wasting time when you pray, are you? You believe there's a God who can hear me. I pray because I need Him. I pray because He answers prayer. I pray because He hears me. He that cometh to God, according to the Bible, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. But not only that, but that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, which means it is a blessing to seek after the Lord. There's great benefit in it. I need Him for my light. Listen, you can't take my Lord away from me. I don't have light. I don't have sense enough to be a good husband. I don't have sense enough to be a good daddy or a good grandfather. I don't have sense enough to be a teacher. I don't have sense. I don't in myself have. There is nothing I can do in this world without the Lord. I can do nothing without Him. Without Him, I'm lost. But when I have Him, He will help me be the daddy I'm supposed to be. He'll help me be the husband I'm supposed to be. He'll help me be the pastor that I'm supposed to be. He'll help me be the friend I'm supposed to be. He'll help me be what I'm supposed to be to give Him glory and honor and praise. And He'll do that until it's time for me to leave this whole world. And when that happens, I will go happy in the Lord and be with Him forever. And that's what the end result is. Isn't it? Just think, you may be in trouble right now. Just think, hang in there a little while, it's going to all be over and we're going to be with the Lord. And until that time, I don't want you living like, oh, this life is so bad I can't hardly make it through. That's not honoring God. I want you to understand, yes, there's difficulty, but there's a God who's greater than all my problems. That's what the church allows you to see and understand. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. I think of the work of faith. Faith causes people to go down to a water's edge and go into the water and be baptized. I see many works of faith. I desire to follow after him, not in order to become his child, not in order to make myself a child of God. You, if you were ever a child of God, you were chosen in him before the very foundation of the world. When he died on the cross, he paid a sin debt for you, and that became manifest in your life when you were born of his spirit. But you walk in the waters of baptism so that you make a public confession that I want to live my life serving him. I owe him everything. And I want to be identified with his death and his burial and his resurrection, and that's pictured in the baptism. You see a baptism, you're seeing a work of faith. Got any sweet memories? Sometimes I get the pictures out and look at them. If I'm sad, that helps me, makes me happy. I see them and think about them. I've seen some broken hearts. That's a work of faith, really. Listen, until the Lord lets you see what you are by faith, you won't have a heart that's broken. And all my preaching won't make you broken. It'll make you mad. You want to make somebody mad? Well, you just preach total depravity to someone who hasn't been given a heart touched and tended by Almighty God, and you'll make them so mad they will take your life if they could. Man does not like to be told what he is until God breaks his heart. And when God breaks his heart, it's kind of like they want to hear that. I want to hear that again. Why? Because it's my case. Don't leave it there, though. Tell me about a Savior who loved that man, that woman that was broken and came to the dung. He came in the dung hills of this earth, and he reached down where you were, and he lifted you out, brother, and he put you on a rock. And he put a new song in your mouth. That song is a work of faith. You singing tonight's a work of faith. When we sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," that means I believe I've got a friend in Jesus. And you couldn't believe in a friend in Jesus unless God had given you faith, which is the ability to believe. Faith isn't the action of believing. Faith is the ability to believe. Believing is the action that faith brings on. You have faith? Well, you use that faith in believing. I said to you tonight, we ought to believe him, don't you think? I think we ought to believe him. I know you know that. I want to say it again, though. You ought to believe him. You trust him. You lean on him. You depend on him. You call on him. This church needs to be praying, Lord, bless us. Lord, add to our borders. Lord, strengthen us. In this old troubled world, let us shine as a light. Let the word of God go broad from this place. And I mean not only in the preaching, let it sound forth in the preaching. Let it sound forth in the singing. Let it sound forth in the living. Let it sound forth as we go out into this world. May we as individual members of this church, may we go forth and shine forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory and the honor and the praise of the Lord. Our lives ought to be that. Not because we're something, but because he's called us to that. And when you see that, you're seeing a work of faith. I got a lot more to say. Time is gone. He says, work of faith, a labor of love. Listen, tonight we gather in a work of faith and a labor of love. Boy, if your church isn't a labor of love, you're in a very burdensome place, aren't you? You know, I'm laboring, but I don't like it. You know, I've had some labors in this world. I didn't like it. I even resented having to work this much. It wasn't a labor of love. It was just labor. Studying your Bible ought to be a labor of love. Coming to church ought to be a labor of love. It is a labor. You got to put off some things to put on some things. To learn from this word takes some labor. You're going to have to spend some time in the book. You're going to have to be praying. You have to be reading. You have to be asking God to open the door and open your eye. But as you labor, it's a labor of love, isn't it? And get this. You can't get that love on your own. If you have that love, he put it in your heart. You exercise it. There's a thing we're not to love. He said, don't love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But this is a labor of love that we are to love. We are to love the things of God. And he says, I give thanks to God always. He said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. I look at this place and I just see the handprints of so many of God's little children that have gone home before. And I look at what they've done and see it as a labor of love. Dear little sister priest, one of the last meetings that we were here, saw all the people here, and she said, how are we going to feed all these people? And I said, sister, don't worry about it. They got food downstairs. She said, well, nobody told me. I didn't bring anything. She wasn't mad in the sense of mad somebody left it out. That was her labor. Do you hear? My labor as I come before you tonight, I love to preach the gospel, but sometimes it in the flesh it gets to be, you think it's a burden, but it shouldn't be. It should be a labor of love just to share Chrome with one of God's little children, just to give one of them a cup of cold water, just to make them feel more comforted in this world. What a blessing God's. Sometimes I look at it and I say, well, this looks like somebody else ought to be able to go over there. Somebody else ought to do that. Listen, God's given me a responsibility, and he's given you a responsibility. And when we walk in that, even in a home and in a family, sometimes we say, why have I got to put up with all this? And yet it ought to be a labor of love. Listen, yes, is it a labor? Yes, but it's the right kind of thing. Why? Because God ordained that. God put that together. God gave you that ability. And it's a labor of love. And it's worth the time and the effort. And it's a joy. Just remind yourself of that when you don't feel so happy. Remember, this is a labor of love. Why would we have to do that? Because we got an old flesh that needs to get kicked out of the way. You already know this is a truth in your heart, don't you? In your spirit and in the inside, you know that. But the old flesh sometimes gets to saying, well, shoot, looks like me, somebody else could do that job. That's a labor of love. And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you hoping in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm hoping. Aren't you? My hope is he's coming back. I believe he is. And it isn't a weak little hope, maybe feeble wish. I believe he's coming. I have a hope that one day he's going to take me out of this world to a place far better than here. I have a hope that as I live my life, he will supply to me every day just what I stand in need of. Sometimes I don't see it, but I need to wait and be patient. I have a patience. I need that patience to wait on the Lord. He doesn't give me everything I want all the time when I want it, because everything I want isn't good for me. And at the time I want it, it's not necessary for me to have it. And I need to grow and learn that. Do I like that? No. So I need to come back to his word. Remember, I need to be patient, hoping in the Lord. I'm hoping in the Lord. I'm going to need to be patient. I don't know the answer now. He hadn't told me, but he's got an answer. He is the answer. I need to be patient. He said he saw that in these brethren, and I remembered it. He said, your labor of love and your patience of hope in, now get this, in our Lord Jesus Christ. What was in Christ? Our hope was in Christ. Our faith is from Christ. Our love is from the Lord. It is a fruit of the Spirit. We wouldn't have any of these things, so there's not one of these things you and I can say, oh boy, we're special here because we have that. Listen, the only reason any church is special is because the Lord has made them his bride. It isn't the beauty of the bride that makes that marriage beautiful. It's that husband. In this relationship, it's the husband that is the head and the husband that is altogether lovely. And the bride would not be beautiful at all if the husband hadn't clothed her. And when she submits to her husband, because he's absolutely right all the time, she shines forth the light that he is. And this church shines forth that light. I just want to read that one verse and we'll close. Verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. That's not just what's, I believe that ought to be what's preached in our pulpits. I think the word of the Lord ought to be preached every meeting. I don't think we have a place for the newspaper. I don't think we have a place for any current events or anything else outside of when the Bible addresses them. Now, as it addresses them, we should address them. We have a duty and a responsibility to preach the word of the Lord. I am to preach the word. That is what's supposed to go forth, the word. The word will feed the sheep. The word will clothe God's little children. It'll supply them. It will help them. It'll be beneficial to them. It'll make the sheep healthy. The word of the Lord. That's what should go forth from the pulpit. But that's also what should be sung in the songs. If our songs don't honor the Lord, we ought not sing them. But if they do honor the Lord, we ought to sing them loud, and we ought to sing them from the heart. And when they do, what a blessing it is. Our fellowship ought to be honoring the Lord. It ought to be that which gives honor and praise to the Lord. Our prayers ought to be honoring. The word of the Lord should be going forth. And then when we leave this place and go out into this world and live our lives, our lifestyle, our conversation, our lifestyle needs to honor the Lord. One of the greatest dishonors we can bring is when we have these things on Sunday, but we don't have them on any other day of the week. Now, get me. I battle that as well as anybody in here. And if we feel like ever I've got that all handled, look, I'm just as good every day. If that didn't hit you a little bit, then be careful, because we can be blind too to our condition. Now, I hope that wasn't too hard or too rough or too anything. I love you, brethren. I believe the truth that we hold so dear would be a great benefit to every one of God's little children, that he's given an ear and an eye and a heart to be able to see. And I believe it's our duty and our responsibility to share that as much as we can in the field of labor the Lord's given us in this world. That is not only within the doors of this house, but it's as we go out. You take that name of Jesus with you and you honor him as much as he gives you the ability to. And just like I'm going to need to do every night, remember as I pray the prayer, as he taught us how to pray, Lord, forgive us this day our trespasses. We will always have enough wrong with every day to ask for forgiveness, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then rest in his forgiveness and get up the next day and try to live the very best you can to the honor, to the praise, and the glory of the Lord. And it'll be an existence that's really living life abundant rather than just putting in time. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. God to pray.